All right, well, my next guest is a regular this time of the season. When we get into debate season, he's a regular here. Aaron Call is the director of debate at the University of Michigan. Aaron, welcome back to the program.
Great to be back.
So I want to ask you about one thing. University of Michigan is in the final mix, I guess, to have one of the presidential debates. And that's a big deal for the U of M. The president put in for that some time ago. And president of the university, that is. Any idea where that's going? Have you heard anything on campus? Anything you're picking up on that?
I have, but unfortunately I'm not at liberty to discuss that publicly.
We got
I would say that we would love to be one of the hosts. As you mentioned, we're one of the six finalists, and it would be great for both the university and the community to host one. I got to attend all the three presidential debates last time, but we hope to have a decision. And hope it's positive because it would be so great.
I think, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. The University of Michigan got this. I'm going to tell you why. You look at the other states. There's one university in Nevada. Other than that, these universities are in places that are not swing states. Michigan is everything, according to the New York Times, according to Bloomberg. Aaron, you know this. And if you're not at liberty to discuss, that's fine. I'll just tell you, you got the debate because they need it in Ann Arbor. It is a place that will get tremendous attention. It was a brilliant move by the university to go after it, and I'm going to tell you, guys, but you probably already know that. Anyhow, yeah, you don't have to admit anything here, Aaron, unless you want to. No, nobody's listening.
No, I hope you're right, and it is great to be a finalist of the six. Last time there was, I think, between 12 and 18 schools, and so, no, there's no question that Michigan was, you know, determined by 11,000 votes, may determine the 2020 election. It would be great. And
absolutely.
I hope that's the case, and I hope to be talking with you again from it in 2020.
Well, I hope so. Well, I hope I'll just see you in person down there, because the last time there was a debate in Michigan, 1992, I was right there at the Wharton Center at Michigan State. Ross Perot, George H.W. Bush, and, of course, the governor of Arkansas, a guy by the name of Bill Clinton, were all on the stage that night. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about last night's debate. Kind of fiery. It was interesting because it played out in some ways as I expected. Those that are dark horse candidates doing their level best to get some sound bites that get replayed. And you saw the back and forth from Governor Bullock of Montana, who I actually thought did pretty well, laying out a vision that's different in many ways than Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. John Delaney did the same. I don't think it moves the needle for them, but what was your assessment?
Yeah, no, it was certainly the ideological contrast. And I think CNN kind of embraced that and wanted that front and center. And that's what we got. You know, you mentioned Bullock, got a lot of time and attention for just his first debate, by narrowly missing out on the first one. I think, you know, he was making an appeal. You know, if he's from Montana, who's able to win in a red state. I just don't know how much of the Democratic base, you know, thinks that, you know, places like that are competitive. And so it's this real stark contrast of whether you need a candidate that excites the Democratic base, maybe causes turnout that didn't exist in Michigan in 2016, or you go for a candidate that could maybe peel off moderate independent voters, those that maybe voted for Obama and then left for Trump. And you had several of them on stage last night, Delaney and Tim Ryan, and it's just a real battle for the soul of the party, and it's probably too early to tell, you know, which way it'll end up. But last night, probably a victory for the, you know, kind of further left of the party, because I think Sanders and Warren, you know, kind of dominated the exchanges and had more experience with the debate on some such issues that got a lot of high profile.
Marianne Williamson, the breakout star from last night, much to the disappointment, I think, of people like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or the Democrat Party in general. She has no chance at all of ever winning the nomination. But, man, she got a lot of applause, big lines, big following, a tremendous amount of led Google for all the searches for names after last night's performance. But does it do these parties any good to basically have a cattle car full of people show up on the stage? I mean, the first 20 minutes was people introducing themselves. It took 20 minutes to get into a first question. And then when they would try to answer, you know, everybody was getting cut off. It was, you know, when somebody would get into the meat of an answer, what seemed like a good answer, bam, they were cut off. It's a tough way to learn anything.
It is. And this was a reaction to all the controversy from the last cycle, where they only had 5 in October and were on weekends and holidays that nobody saw. And so I think they overcompensated a little bit this time, having 12 debates and up to 20 candidates. And as you mentioned, yeah, kind of cutting off the ends of answers last night. It's probably not good for the party as of now. I think it, you know, just exposes a real ideological rift. And the longer this drags out, then I think the tougher the reconciliation would be at the end. We saw that last time with, you know, disaffected Bernie Sanders voters that maybe didn't vote or supported a third party. So no, it's probably maybe something that has to occur, but will ultimately make it more difficult for the nominee to have a unified base and then have make it a tougher chance to defeat Trump. And so it's probably something that may be necessary, and especially because of the last time, but it's problematic, going forward into 2020.
It's a tough format, that's for sure. David Axelrod, former advisor to Barack Obama, appearing as a pundit, as he does, after the debate, said the Democrats are ignoring the American people, because he said the American people don't want to get rid of health care for 160 or 180 million people. They don't want the border decriminalized when people come into the country illegally. And he says the Democrats are ignoring Americans at their own peril. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly a lot of the issues last night in terms of, you know, healthcare, immigration, Green New Deal, things like that. And if you just look at, you know, national polls like that, I think that that's largely accurate. Although, as we know, in elections, that it's determined by electoral college and not just, you know, kind of a total referendum. But yeah, it's in Michigan, Detroit, there was a lot of voters didn't turn out last time. And so do you try to attract them and turn them out or go towards the center? And there's really no right answer. It didn't work out for Hillary Clinton last time. They may, you know, try to do a different playbook this time. But no, I think that, and that's why you see continually Joe Biden, despite his, you know, debate gas in Miami, still has a very large lead in this.
Yep.
And because there's a very big part of the Democratic Party, they're older, they're more moderate, even though the vocal, you know, the liberal wing may be
they're loud,
vocal, and on Twitter and in social media. But in terms of pure numbers, you're correct.
Aaron Cole, always a great conversation. The director of debate at the University of Michigan, that's going to get one of the three presidential debates. Aaron won't admit it here, but I will do it for him. Aaron, always a pleasure.
Always. Take care.
Thank you. Back in a moment.